holding on Daf Mem Vav. We got up to Omer of Yaakov Bar Ezi, Omer of Yishur Ben Levi. I just want to point out an interesting commentary on yesterday's Gemara, which is that we were dealing with the question of whether the Mayim can be Kona Shvisa, even though it came from far offshore. And if, from the ocean, if it was Kona Shvisa, so then we said to you there would be a problem of using it. And the Gemara's response to that was, at least in the Ibayit Ima, was that it's a subject to be rain, it's a subject to be rain Lahakya. Now this is already a dramatic issue, because even those Shitot who held the Tchumim and Rabbanan, when it came to Yud Beit Mil, there were many that held it as the Oraita, including the Rambam. And yet the Gemara is saying that it's a subject of Divrayim, even in this case. This is a very rare case, where it would have actually been Kodesh Visa far away, more than Yud Beit Mil possibly. We'll talk about clouds blowing in, 12 kilometers is not very much. And therefore, fascinatingly enough, the Gro brings a raya from this Gemara Psak. You see from here that the Gemara holds the Dover Poshet, the Tchumim are not the Oraisa, even Yud Beit Mil. Because otherwise, how can we say something to Divrayim Lahakel on water that may have come from far away, even further than Yud Beit Mil, nonetheless we're made for. Now there's a number of issues that are involved in this deduction that are by no means evident, and that is, as a matter of fact, the reason that many don't agree with the Gro. Fundamentally, we have to, first of all, establish, remember we're talking over Yom Yontif. There's an additional question of whether Tumim on Yontif would be arise. If you don't Tumim on Shabbos would be arise, is the Din of Eitzah Tumim on Yontif the same as on Shabbat? That's one question. The other question is, even if Tumim and Diraita Abba, are they also Diraita on Kelim, or only Diraita in terms of the person, and the Kelim is an extension, Rabbanan type of extension, maybe you wouldn't have asked it. The other question is there a din of Hotzah outside of Arba Amot, Midiraita, even if you're Tum? Is something already left the Tum? Is it now Osir to move it at all, or is that an extension of the din? Is it Nisir to leave the Tum? Fine, you left the Tum. Okay, now what? Maybe the Rabbanan Osir'd for you to move something that had come outside of the school, but maybe the Diraita is just don't go out of your Tum, and if you go out, it's done and it's over. So maybe that's just an extension.
Continuing Nisir as you can anyone.
Correct. That may just be a Rabbanan. Okay, so those things are by no means clear. It could be that even though the Gemara is saying it's a Rabbanan, maybe it's subject to the frame on some of these other issues. But, okay, it's just a very interesting sideline that this is really the main mocker of the growth side. Okay, we got up to Omer of Yaakov Baridi, Omer of Yoshua Ben Levi last night, and Avmem Rabbom and Aleph. And he paskin halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Now Rav Yochanan ben Nuri said over here that a sleeping person is a kona shvisa. So that's how we paskin. Omalei Rav Yizeir l'Rav Yaakov Ari. Beferush mi'alacha o michlola shmi'alacha. I just want to know, did you reported that from Rav Yeshua ben Levi that halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? I just want to know whether you heard that from him directly or whether it's an inference that you're making. No, I heard it from him directly, but I mean, obviously, you have some reason to think that it might have been an inference. My chalala, what would the inference have been? Because you see, I was thinking that since Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi paskins kedivrei hamekel be'eruv, then you were just quoting that general halacha. Halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. And since over here Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the kula, in that he's allowed now, this person is allowed to be kona makom shvisa, he has 2,000 amas instead of having no mokum shvisa at all. So then, obviously it would be a big difference, because then when it comes to Kalin, he wouldn't have been passing like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri anyway, that's for sure. Right? Because as far as Kalin, we were questioning yesterday whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is based on the din of Kalin, Shilhefker, their ability to be kona shvita. We said that there may be a big difference between the two, even though we brought a raya, but there's clearly a machlokas, it must be Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But if the mocker of the psak is that the halokas kedivrei hamekel, then when it comes to kalim shel hefker, then it's a bigger kulat pas than like Rabban. And then the halokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would only be when it comes to Adam, where it's obviously a kula for the Adam to have himself a mokum shvita. Mashenka, if you hold that kalim shel hefker don't have a mokum shvita, then they become the same as whoever picks them up. In which case, that's a big kula. That would be a kula libid rabbanan. So, I mean, I just want to know whether you're actually paskening like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri directly, or whether he just said this is a kula. So he answered, no, it's not a kula. I heard it directly. So tell me something. Halacha Kedibra HaMeiko Ba'erev, does that tell us so much more than, couldn't it just say Halacha Kedibra HaMeiko Ba'erev and say it that way? And then what was the point of stressing Halacha Kedibra Yochid and Ben-Nuri? Well, first of all, I would have said, when you say Halacha Kedibra HaMeiko, do I know that that means Kedibra HaMeiko under any circumstances? Maybe it would mean if I have a machloket between two individuals, or if I have a machloket between two groups of individuals, rabim b'makom rabim. But certainly a yachid b'makom rabim, maybe over there we go according to rabim, even if it would be l'chumra, emalo, then maybe we wouldn't say that locha is kedivrei hamekim. So how do you know? Omar le'rov l'abaye, I don't see what kind of reasoning that is. Michtei erev d'rabbanan, I thought the klal is that when you have an issur d'rabbanan, you go to kula. So you go look cool, that makes sense that he would be basketing. Halacha Kedibra HaMeiko Be'eruv. Who cares whether it's a Yochid B'makom Yochid, whether it's a Yochid B'makom Rabim? If we pasken Kedibra HaMeiko, so then we pasken Kedibra HaMeiko. Omar Le'Rav Papa Rava, where do you get such a swara from? There's no nafkamina in a Drabona. In terms of Tzak, the pasken like the Shita that's going look cool, whether it's a Yochid versus a Yochid or a Yochid versus a Rabim. That's not true. But Rabbanan lo shanimon ben yachid b'makom yachid b'yachid b'makom rabim. You're saying there's no nafkamina? That's none. We know in the Mishnah where Rabbi Elazar omer, Rabbi Elazar, it should be Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer shita is that kol ishash avru alei shalosh onot daya sha'ata. We know we have a halacha that we're machmer legabi taharot, that a woman who finds that she has been bleeding is considered to be tamei'ah limafreya, any taharot that she touched. And we paskin that this is until the time of her previous bedika, or until the 24-hour maximum. And we'll paskin all of the tyrants that she touched are tummy, except a woman that we know to be misuleket damin, that she has a chazaka that she no longer and has her menses. Now, Rebbe Eliezer holds that any woman who has skipped three periods of any age is considered to be misuleket damin, at which point when she now is suddenly Israel dam, we don't have this chumrah, because there's a chazaka that she's not roha. The chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer, and they say only around the age of menopause would missing three periods be considered to be misuleket damim. Nonetheless, v'tanya, despite the fact that we have a rabbim arguing on Rabbi Eliezer, as you should say, tanya ma'aseh v'asah Rebbe k'Rabbi Eliezer, once Rebbe paskin l'kula was not betami the taharot l'mafreya. Liachash and Niskar, when he remembered, that's not clear what he remembered. So he said, well, if we already paskin that it was Tahar, we better not change our minds and say it's Tameh, because now all of that Tahar, erstwhile Tahar stuff, if it was now Tameh, it's going to be the Tameh, God knows how much. So I better just stick with my original Tzak. Liachash and Niskar obviously means he realized he did something wrong. But he said, look, if it's done already, Kedayu, Rabbi Eliezer, Nisimoch alav b'shat atchak. So since this is an emergency, Tosus learns the emergency is the very fact that this stuff had been spread around, that it already been would have been multiple catastrophic tumas. Rashi learns that the emergency is that it's talking about a shat batzoret, where food was scarce. Tosus proves that can't be the case because Rabbona are motive to Rebbe Eliezer in a shat batzoret. He shows in the Gemara Nidus. It couldn't be that emergency. It has to be a local problem of shat atchak. So now, can we analyze this statement? It says, after he remembered that he did something wrong. Okay, what did he do wrong? See, Ilema, is that what? Liakash and Iskar, the Ein Halakha, Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbonim. There had been an actual Psak Halakha, that we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer in this, and she's not Misuleket Damim. You can't go against a Psak that was arrived at by the Rabbim and say, well, tough situations will go to Kula. It's only if it was left open to your judgments, and then you have a right to say, well, we'll incorporate the Shat HaTchak. But if we had already passed in Beit Din, that the Halakha is like the Rabbanan, how could he have said, how would he now even be Shat HaTchak done like you? Must be that the cases, the Lo Yitmar Yochot, Halakha Rabbi Eliezer, Halakha Rabbanan, must be that the cases that they never had a specific Tzak in this one thing. And then when Rebbe remembered, what did he remember? He remembered that even though this whole halacha is a drabbana, and that obviously there's no diraisa about me'et le'et or anything of the sort, even though originally he had thought to say, well, if it's a drabbana, Sal Paskat and Makula, like Rabbi Eliezer, and what stage is Mr. Legadama? And then he remembered that what? The Lavi Yachit, Palagadel Rabin Pligeli. Then he remembered that it wasn't just another individual argument with Rabbi Eliezer. It was the Rabbanan who said that only an older woman would be Mr. Legadama, not someone who normally would be Rabbi. And then nonetheless, he said that Kedai Rabbi Eliezer spoke of a Shatat Chak. Now that shows that even though we're dealing with the Rabbanan, that he was wrong. In other words, Lakash and Iskandar had made a mistake. And he should have paskened like the Chachomim, even though they were going to the Chumrah, on a Durabbanan. So we're probably saying, what do you mean that if Erevin is Durabbanan, it doesn't matter whether it's a Yochid that's Cholik and a Rabbin, or a Yochid that's Cholik and a Yochid? That's not true. And when Misharsha points out another case like this, Omer Misharsha, Rava, some say, Nachbar Yitzchak pointed out to Rava, how can you say such a thing that there's no Nafkamina? Now what? In the Durabbanan, Lo Shanilan ben Yachid b'makom Yachid ben Yachid b'makom Rabim. That when it comes to Psak Halacha, there's no Nafkamina in the Psak Halacha in whether we have an argument between a Chachomim and a Yachid, or a Yachid and a Yachid. And where is Kvodos? V'yatanya, I'll bring you another case that shows that that's not true. Are Dinei Avilut Rabbanan? Yes. And nonetheless, we have in the following bright, and we have a machloket, about the nafkamina between someone who gets a shmu'ah of a tirah of a relative. So he has a shmu'ah krova, which means that he hears about the death within 30 days. So over there it's noheket shiva u'shloshim. Krova, rechoka, but if it's you heard about it only later, we'll see what that means after 30 days. In a noheket ele yom echad, the whole avelut is one day, and that's it. There's no shiva, there's no shloshim. Shloshim is specifically for haircuts and things like that. Okay. But this is the sheet, as we'll see, of Rabbi Akiva. Ezoi krova, ezoi rechoka. What's the difference in time? Betoch shloshim krova. So if it's within 30 days of the death that the relative hears of the death, then he has to keep the shiva, shloshim. Le'yachar shloshim rechoka, even Rabbi Akiva. But if it's after 30 days, then the relative needs to keep only one day of avelut, says Rabbi Akiva. V'chachamim omrim, achat shmua krova, v'achat shmua rechoka, noheket shiva, v'shloshim. V'chachamim argue, and they say there's no such kula. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan and say that kol makom shata motze, yachid mekel, v'rabim machmirim, halacha k'divrei hamachmirim hamirubim. That even though we're dealing here with the Durabbanan, even though we're dealing with the Rabbanan, the klal is that normally in the Rabbanan, if you have a Rabbim that are Machmir, you follow the Rabbim, even though we go normally in Rabbanan Makula. That's only when all other things are the same. So you have a Rabbim against the Rabbim or a Yochid against the Yochid. But if you have a Yochid against the Rabbim who are Machmirim, you follow the Machmirim because they're a Rabbim, except in this case, Kutzmizu, because we're dealing with Avelut, Sha'af HaPish Rabbi Akiva Mekel V'Chachamim Machmirim. In this case, halacha k'divrei Rabbi Akiva, and he's following Shmuel's general guidelines, Diomar Shmuel halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel. But when it comes to avelut, and specifically ba'avelut, we paskin like the mekel even where it's a yochid b'mokum rabbi. And so you see ba'avelut, hu de'akilu ba'rabonim. It's only an avelut where the rabbonim are mekel, avo bi'alma afilu b'rabbanan, shani ben yachid b'mokum yachid, ben yachid b'mokum rabbi. So, and why are you bothered by the fact that there should be no nafkamina just because Erevin is the Rabbanan, that I shouldn't need to speak out that it's also halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri faces a Rabbin who hold that a Yochid is not Kena Shmisa when he's fast asleep? That's a very important psak. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says, you know, I have a different approach to also again. I mean, you're saying that the reason that we need to paskin like two different piskei halachas. A, halachat Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. B, halachat k'divrei ha-mekel be'eruv. Okay, the reason you came up with was because I would have thought that halachat k'divrei ha-mekel is only talking about where it's a yochid b'mokum yochid, or my rabbi b'mokum rabbi. I have a different approach to this. I think that what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was saying when he paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, despite the fact that it said halachat k'divrei ha-mekel, is because, you see, I have a general rule that was said over there by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Halachat k'divrei ha-mekel be'eruv. He didn't say what eruv. If all I heard, and I didn't hear a psak from him, about halachat Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I might have thought he was referring to eruv v'chatzeirot. When it comes to eruv v'techumim, he's more machmir, because eruv v'techumim, as we saw earlier, has a moker, at least a remez in the Torah, Whereas Eruv Echatzerot is an outrageous innovation, if you think about it, that creates separate Rishonot. It's a whole different idea of including the Diorin and so on. So maybe we're saying we'll be Mako, but not when it comes to Eruv Echatzerot. Where do we see that we ever have a practical nafkamina in terms of how we relate the Kula L'Chumra to these two sugyot of Sof Kol Sof? They're both Rabbanan. So show me a nafkamina. I'll show you. It's not. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, there it's talking about where somebody makes an Eruv without the person's knowledge that he's making an Eruv for him. So there Rabbi Yehuda says you can do such a thing, but you can't do it by Eruv Tchumim. So there it says you cannot make an Eruv without his das. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's only by Eruv Tchumim you can't make it without his das. Avo by Eruv Chatzerot, Marvim Ben Ladat, Ben Shelo Ladat, because I mean, what does he have to lose? She's Zachin Adam Shelo B'Fanav. He has nothing to lose, really, the fact that he can carry into the next Chatzer. And on the other hand, I mean, if you make an Eruv Tchumim for him, he's got a lot to lose. 2,000 Amot, or however big it is, however far away the Eruv was from his previous location. That's how much he loses in the opposite direction. I mean, how do we know he doesn't want to go in the other direction? So therefore, in Chatin Ladam Elav B'Fanav, if you're going to make something for a person that could come out to his disadvantage, then he has to agree to it in advance. So Tosfos says, what the heck does this have to do then with what we're looking for? We're looking for a reason where we were Mako just because of the fact that it's a Ruvei Tchumim. And here you're giving me a very good reason why. It has nothing to do with it. Machmer, because the Ruvei Tchumim with it being Machmer. It has to do with the fact that the guy doesn't want it. It's completely irrelevant to what we're trying to prove. Says Tosafot, maybe the Gemara's point is that, look, I mean, Lamaikos, you're making an Ruvei Chatzerot. If the guy has no interest in this Ruvei Chatzerot, he's paying for it. Because when you say you're going to collect food from him without his rishos, well, what's going on over here? I have no interest in carrying into that other chatzer. And I don't want these guys in my chatzer either, for that matter. I'm certainly not going to pay for it. So, I mean, there is an element of chavin. I mean, it's not all that serious, but certainly an element of chavin. So had they been the same, at the same level of chumras as Tosafot, we certainly would have considered this also to be elements of chav. So it must be that this also takes into consideration our general laxity when it comes to when Eruvei Chatzeros. We're not all that makbid the way we are on Eruvei Tchumim. Therefore, says Rav Papa, if that's the case, we need to have a special psak when it comes to our case of the sleeping boy at the Tchum, that according to Rav Yochanan, he was Kona the Shvita nonetheless. That's my approach. And that avoids your whole discussion, basically is moot. Rav Ashi says, well, I have a third approach. I say the reason that Rav Yehoshua ben Levi went to Paskin like Rav Yochanan, despite the fact that he had already given a klal that Allah Yidri Amekel, the Eruv, is for some other reason. Salka da'atecha mina hani mili b'shiyurei Eruv, avu b'chilat Eruv emalo. We know that there are cases where when you first start off with something right, the shiur, is shiur, not shiur with an ayin, shiur with a yud, the leftovers were made to learn. Many cases like this by tzitzit, where we have gamida tzitzit, the leftovers of the tzitzit. By ezov, where you have a lev, you need a shir lefatkila, and then leftovers were more mekelon. One of the most striking is the din of Eruvei Chatzerot. We're over there, even though we require basically at least a grogeret for each individual, or a minimum shir of shtei seudot for how many people there are. Nonetheless, if that shiur, let's say, shrunk, some of it rotted or maskatu or whatever, it's okay if some little bit is left. And that's because we're making on shiurei, on leftovers of the Eruvei Chatzerot. And there, if we found a psak, Alocha Kedivri HaMekel, I might well have thought that Alocha Kedivri HaMekel, the Eruv, where we're dealing with issues that involve an Eruv that had initially been made properly, and now we're dealing with problems of shiurei Eruv. But to say Tchilat Eruv, which is the case over here, where the guy is sleeping and he's giving kaina and so on, maybe over there we wouldn't have said it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua maybe had to say Alocha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, even though it's a real Tchilas Eruv. Maybe that's the pshat. And minola teimra the shani la men shiurei eruv the tchilat eruv. How do we know that indeed there are nafkaminas in psak in this difference? Titznan on Rav Yosi, b'meh devarim amurim b'tchilat eruv, aval b'shiurei eruv afilu kosho. Because we see when it comes to the shiur of the eruv, we need a minimum of two seudot, or we can go all the way down to grow growth for each individual if that in aggregate is at least as large as they sold out, whichever is smaller. So over there, It's only but the tchilat eruv. Avu b'shiyur eruv, afilu kosher eruv. V'lo omru la'arev chatzerot, alakadei shalo l'shakach, torat eruv v'na tinokot. The only reason that we run around collecting food for an eruv that's already been made is because otherwise people are going to forget all about the eruv. If children never have to deal with eruv. So they're going to come when they grow up and say, I don't know, we always used to carry from one chatzer to another. There was never any problem. So what do you mean? There was an Arab. Where was there an Arab? 70 years before? How did they know about the Arab? By the way, many communities indeed display the Arab in shul, mm-hmm. so that they would have this box, a glass box, and there would be a matzah in there or something, which would be the Arab for the city, all the chatzeres of the city, for the year. That was very common. That way the kids wouldn't forget it. And what it is that we're talking about over here, by the way, isn't all that clear. Lo amru. I mean, Rashi, later on, where this maimer occurs, is in the context of shitufei mevo'ot. When you have the chatzerot, it already made a shituf in the mevo'ot. So then it seems to be completely redundant to make an eruv chatzerot. Because if we're already, you're telling me that everybody who lives in these chatzerot are shitufim in the mevo'ot, so you've already established that we have one home, so to speak. So why do I need also to have a shituf in the chatzer that we should be able to carry in the chatzer too? Why can't we just one be? So we say, okay, over there, once, even you were nishtateif, the kids don't know about that. Because they're telling the gale chutz, it's not in the house. And like this, they all know, oh, it's in Johnny's house this week, the Erev Sat. It becomes now a thing among the kids. And I mefarshim Torah Teiruv. And so here we're using that to show that we really wouldn't have been all that makbid, but we do it for the kids. But Tosva says that doesn't seem to be what the mashmot of the sugya are. I mean, it's not referring to a case of where you did a shita.
You said Eruv Chatzeres for the holiday of Yerushalayim? I mean, I'm sure we have some message. Who is that for?
That's in order to make what we call Eruvs, which are the Tzurat HaPetach with the strings and everything around the city. It's not going to do you any good unless you also are Ma'arev to be able to carry between the various Rishuyas that are now Rishus HaYochids. All that does is turn all of the city into Rishut HaYachid. But it doesn't deal with the problem of the various chatzerot within the city. So you still can't carry. So for that, you're going to need an Eruv chatzerot. So that's what's put up. All right, so anyway, there is Rashi elsewhere who says that the entire tikkun of Eruv is essentially for tinokot. Despite the fact that we have other takonas of Eruv. All right. Otherwise, why can't we just get along in a kosher that nobody would notice? Like this, there's a collection, the kids will recognize and so on, but if it's time and somebody wants to put in one date or something for the whole chutzah, it would be mazak, everybody knows, so that nobody would ever know about it. Like this, it becomes an issue. So that explains why he has two different piskei halachas. One for shiur eruv, and one for the din of eruv itself. That way we shouldn't get confused. Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Zreika Omru, as long as already we're dealing over here with the Klolim Halachik Devei Meiko Avel, Halachik Devei Meiko Beiruv, is there a nafkamina de Rabbanan between Yochid and Rabim? Halachik Devei Meiko Bedrabbanan beYochid beYochid, Ayochid beRabim beRabim, but not if you have a Yochid for Rabim, then Halachik Devei Harab Makmirim. So you've already told me five different Klolim, we might as well go all the way. So, I mean, once we're up to this, first of all, you should know there's a klal. Halachik Rabbi Akiva Mechaveiro. Mechaveiro meaning dafke if the one who argues on him is a yochid. Implications being velo mechaveirav. Whereas when it comes to Rabbi Yossi, halachik Rabbi Yossi even mechaveirav. And Rabbi, when we have a machlok, is Rabbi and someone, it's mechaveiro. Also over there, it's not when it's against a rabbin. Lamai hilchasa, when you say this, I mean, how far are we supposed to go with this? Is it that we actually put out halacha books from our scroll based on these klolim, or is it just guidance in a mora hora, or what? Rav Ashi says, what do you mean, lamai hilchasa? Lamai hilchasa lehilchasa. We just said halachas like, it means go out and write an art scroll book if you want to. I mean, this is for publication. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says, well, I wouldn't go that far. And when it says, okay, halacha, it means matim. They weren't saying that we can pass it, and so it means that if the das is noted to this direction, and therefore you should, if you're Meira Hira, you can pass it. That way, we're certainly not going to get up and shul and darshan and have everybody start going with their own piskei halachos, thinking we can rely on this. But you should take into consideration of some. Then the Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina says, well, it's not even that. Not even that. It's just nearing. It means that if Lamaisa, somebody did this, you can rely on it. It's no basis for exactly. You have to paskin according to the way you see the particular case. But it's not, certainly not a general rule. Now, Kaloshon Hazeh, Amar Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi also said exactly these lashonos, whether it's halacha or matim or nirim, when it comes to the piskei halachas of, quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, he says halacha Rabbi Yehuda. By the way, there are some who understand that Rashi learns that the words that Omar Rabbi Yochanan are not associated with the previous minor. In other words, I meant Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yochanan. The words Rabbi Yochanan following Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, they think, are two separate sugyas. In other words, Kaloshon Hazeh Omar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi are the previous sugya, and then Omar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Halacha. It's certainly the other Rishonim don't learn that way. They learn that it means that in the same way that we have different approaches about how to view these rules, whether the rules are straight out halacha rules or whether they're matim rules, whether they're nirim rules, that is what we also do with the following rules that were said by Rabbi Yaakov Baridi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which is the way I think the naive reader would have read it, and linear personally that Rashi is saying exactly that too.
What is the thing behind it? Is it that the guy's so big?
Phantom of the Opera has just walked in.
Is it that they tallied so many halakas and they're usually like him? What is it that makes it about? Well, it's like, hey, well, I thought, we're dealing with truth here. Who cares who said it? It's like,
That is a good point. There are a number of different approaches to how this works. Some learned, the Rosh learns actually, that these kolalim were kolul at the same time as the closing of the Gemara. So that Ravina and Ravashi, in addition to putting together all of the various shmuot and so on, went through the different machlokot, major machlokot and bali machlokot, and saw where there are clear-cut patterns that we've passed in all the time like that. And gave it to us over there. Then there's the question on how far do we take that? Do we take it that they literally reviewed every machlokot, so this is the way they're giving you a kalal, so you can remember? That was the question here. Does this mean you can paskin like that? Does it mean that they're telling you, look, I mean, we've reviewed 100 such cases. Okay, but there's maybe 10,000 such cases. So what about, so maybe that's just matin. In other words, because we've seen that, generally speaking, that's the way it is. If you're a mora hora'ah, and other things being equal, so then you should be matin of psak in this direction as well. It's not that we paskined it, so that you can now put it in a book, and therefore it becomes now precedent that of the last bezdin in Israel, and nobody else can now rethink it until you get another bezdin. We're not doing that. We're just telling you that it looks good. This is the pattern so far. You being a mora or ash should certainly take that into consideration, but it doesn't mean that it's psak and it's over. Others, the final shot is that they didn't even mean it as a guideline for psak. They only meant it that it's certainly something to rely upon where there's reasons not to change an already given psak. Okay, but that's the shaila. Others have more innovative pshatim in this. That it was an attempt to create a balance between the need to give over information of psak on the one hand, and on the other hand, not to lock Teresh Baal Peh into any more of a tfus than it needed to be in order to write the Gemara. It's bad enough that the Gemara was written down, because that ended up, as Meir Simcha points out, that ends up being the most destructive thing that ever happened to Klal Yisrael, in that there was no Bezdin afterwards, and then there was no possibility for creative psak afterwards. So in order to strike a balance between giving guidelines of how you ought to look at sugyas as opposed to actually paskin, and on the other hand saying nothing, which would leave it wide open, so we have a question, how far did they mean to go? Did they mean to actually tell you that this is a psak, that it's just a short answer to psak, and now you can write your books that way? Or again, was it matim or nirim? Okay, but this is a very valid point. It's not... It isn't clear where does this come from, and what do we say? Nowhere in the whole world that somebody was smart enough to argue on Rabbi Akiva and he was right. I mean, it seems rather striking thing. There should not be one case where he's wrong. We actually reviewed every single case. Well, maybe not. Now, because we have these kolam of Rabbi Yochanan, which we also view the same way, maybe Matin, maybe Halacha, maybe Nirin. So Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, He said, you have a machlokas Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. You have a machlokas Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, then you paskin like Rebbe Yossi. And I ain't talking longer Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yossi, because, I mean, Rebbe Meir, even Rebbe Yehuda was enough to knock out of the water. So Koshkin, if Rebbe Yossi can knock out Rebbe Yehuda, then we're certainly going to paskin like Rebbe Yossi against Rebbe Meir. That goes without saying. So Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yossi, halacha Rebbe Yossi. Because, look, I mean, Ash, the Mokum Rebbe Yehuda less says, the Mokum Rebbe Yossi, boy. If Rebbe Meir's opinion doesn't count against Rebbe Yehuda, it certainly doesn't count against Rebbe Yossi. Omer Rav Asi said, Rav Asi, by the same token, I can also now derive, Afamilo made, even though nobody pointed this out, that Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, the halacha goes like Rav Yossi, because I know that Rav Abba quoted Rav Yochanan as saying that Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, the halacha is Rav Yehuda, so I can also make a Kav HaChomer. If Hash, the halacha Rav Yehuda, if you're telling me that Rav Shimon in the place of Rav Yehuda, Lesa, is not significant, so Rav Yossi, where Rav Yehuda is not significant, so Koshik and Rav Shimon will not be significant. So B'mok and Rav Yossi be boy. Now, what remains still open is the question of Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. Because the bottom ones of both of these sets, we don't know how they relate to each other. So Rav Meir and Rav Shimon my, and for that take, indeed, we don't have any clear-cut indication of the rule. Omer Misharji Alessa Lani Klali. Rav Misharji says, hey, forget about all of that stuff. That's a nice attempt, but it doesn't hold water. Whew, wow. I mean, how does Rav Misharji just like cavalierly dismiss all of these halachas? Maybe it's from our Mishnah. This is why we bring up this whole thing. Maybe it's from our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, what is the similar case of, we're talking about when we had three people, each one with a separate Arba Amot, and they have an area where they overlap to the guy in the middle. Rabbi Shimon said, even though the two people on the extremes can't deal with each other, they can still deal with the guy in the middle. And he said, Lama Davar Domeh, you can compare this to the case of three chatzirot ha-ptuchot zolezo, u-ptuchot reshut ha-rabim, that over there, the halacha is that there, if yirvu shtayim ha-fitzonot im ha-emtzait, the two outside chatzirot, each has a separate eruv with the middle one, so the middle one indeed can carry in both places, and each one can separately carry into the middle, whereas the shtayim ha-fitzonot remain asurot zo im zo. And we know that this whole little sneaky comment by Rabbi Shimon, why do I say sneaky? Because that was his approach. The Rabbanim don't agree to that. He said, well, you know, of course it's similar to the well-known halacha, and now everybody's going to be fooled into thinking this is a well-known halacha that he made up, and it's really the Chachamim argue on it. And nonetheless, Omer Chama Baguri Omer Rab, halacha Rabbi Shimon. Now, if you take a look at who the Baal Machlokas was in our Mishnah, it was the Mandiomer right up until now. Man Paligale, who was Rabbi Yehuda, or Rashi says maybe the Pshat is in general the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shimon, is Rabbi Yehuda. And nonetheless, and you said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Alokha, Rabbi Yehuda. And here we're paskening, Rabbi Chama Bar Gri is paskening like Rabbi Shimon. So how do you explain that? El Alav Shemam. And nonetheless, so you see that even though people are trying to give us over Klalim, these Klalim do not hold water. Well, I don't understand what you mean by saying it doesn't hold water. I mean, the klalim were said, obviously, after all the piskei halachot of the Dorot. I mean, we're closing the Tkufat HaTalmud. Obviously, they were aware that there were piskei halachot in one direction or another through the Dorot. Let's say there's 50 piskei halachot. So what they're saying is, on all machlokot that have been left open, here are the guidelines. They're not saying they contradict halachot that was said 300 years ago. So my question, do I have to eat my eat? Do I have to eat my low eat my? I can bring a proof. I mean, where somebody paskin, I'll look for Rabbi Shimon, fine. All we were saying is where there was no ilchata paskin throughout all the generations until today, then these are your guidelines for psak, either to Morei Hora'ah or maybe even to Uncle Art. So then there must be another reason that he said that less nulani klali, and he throws them out like that. Why is that? Elami ha. The reason that he said that the klalim don't make any sense is from this mission. It's not. Yerushal Yachid v'naseh sharabi. You have a city that's a city that is originally an Yerushal Yachid. So I'd say it does not have the requisite population and so on to be a Rishut Rabbi. And then it becomes Shel Rabbi. But nonetheless, there are still no places in it that have a width, a necessary 16 amot width. That's Rishut Rabbi. It means that there's no rabbim in it, so that even though you have chatzirot and public spaces, but there's no rabbim as defined by the Torah. You're 600,000 people. We'll see later on exactly. I mean, obviously, they're machlokas, and we've already seen between the Rishonim as to the meaning of Rabbim Yochanan. Ma'arvim et kulat. Sharabim v'nasek sheyachid ein ma'arvim et kulat. There you can't be ma'arv the entire thing. Ela imkein she'osa chutzala ki'ir chadasha shebiyuda sheyesh ba chamishim diurim. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Shalosh chatzirot shal shnei batim. So he holds that you need to have additions in this case in order to be ma'ariv that are large enough to be themselves separate. You leave them out of the Eruv. And how much do you have to leave out of an Eruv? That which is considered to be the size of a city. So you have a population of 50. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, Shalosh chatzirot shnei batim. All you need to have in a case of an Ir Shel Rab that now has lost its population, it's on its way to becoming a ghost town. Walmart moved out. That was it. They opened the Walmart in the town down the road. And now the whole place is going to pot. So over there, what you want to do, in order to make it clear that it's no longer the city that it was, it can't be my of the whole thing. What you do is you leave out these three chatzirot. And these three chatzirot, each one of them has two separate homes owned by separate families. And that's sufficient to have now a shiur that people won't get confused. And what's important for me is Rav Chama Bar Gurion says that Rav Paskin now works with Rabbi Shimon. Now, how could Rav Paskin work with Rabbi Shimon if this Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda was Chamishim Diurim? So isn't this Amrit Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halach Rabbi Yehuda? I don't understand what he's saying, but Rav was in the previous generation. My Kushet, Yemalach and Ami, I didn't eat my lo yid my lo yid mar. Well, I was saying only if the Tamayim Paskin did. I was saying that the klalim that were said here were klalim only on all of the machlokot that had been left without a psak during the entire days of the Gemara, including Rav. If Rav gave a psak, why would we talk about it now? We mean when there was no psak of Rav, no psak of Shmuel, none of the later poskim, and we're left with a lot of open issues, and we don't have a psak, we're giving you guidelines. How can you prove that these guidelines are meaningless by proving to me that there were piskei halachas before? So this is just as ridiculous as the previous raya that you brought. I don't care whether it's two generations ago or five generations ago. Point is, there's a psak. Show me that you have a reason to throw out in an area where there was no psak. That I'd like to see. That we'll see tomorrow.